Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin.
You may have seen, you've probably seen, in the Catholic corners of Instagram, a beautiful new literary journal called Ever Eden. It's a publication that I am so excited to have been included in a couple of times and something that I love to read. It's beautifully done. And so I'm super duper excited to have on the podcast today, Amy O'Connell, the publisher of Ever Eden. Amy, thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me, Lindsay. It's so nice to be on here and to be talking with you instead of just writing back and forth.
Right? The written word is a beautiful thing, but to actually hear voices is something really special too.
Exactly.
So I'm so excited that we can talk about this quote, especially because Ever Eden is written entirely by Catholic women. You picked a quote by someone who was always a woman but was not always Catholic. So you have a quote from Edith Stein, a.k.a. St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Can you share what the quote was and then how you came across it?
Yeah. So the quote is, "The world doesn't need what women have. It needs what women are." And this is from her collection of essays on women, which is where I saw it, actually. I was a freshman in college, and it was kind of a big time in my faith journey in terms of, I guess, becoming an adult in the faith. And I had stumbled upon the Newman Center very haphazardly. I actually went out to a party. My first day, I guess, after my parents left, you know, me from the dorm room, and I went out to a party and ran into the priest who ran the Newman Center. So anyway, I got involved.
Lurking outside the party.
Yeah, seriously, was with a bunch of Focus missionaries, and they were just like handing out these like magnets that had mass times on them.
Oh, very cool.
And it was a beautiful thing. But yeah, so I got really involved in the Newman Center, and I remember it just being a time where, I guess for me, I felt like I wanted to be a good Catholic and I wanted the faith to be important in my life, but I didn't know what that would look like for me. I felt like I didn't have great role models. And like, I couldn't envision what it would mean like to be like a Catholic woman, you know? So there's like the aspect
like there's like little church ladies, but like that's a personal life goal. But like, yes. What's all the in between before you get
exactly.
to little church lady.
Yes, yeah. And is that me, right? So you sure. accept the truth is truth, but like, how do I fit into this? And that was very much that year for me. And so the same priest actually handed me this book, Edith Stein on Women, her whole collection of essays. And I could not put that thing down. I was like Edith Stein herself. They say that she read a book all the way through and said, this is the truth. And that's her conversion story. This is like, I did the same thing, but for her writings and like what it means to be a woman. And so, yeah, it came in that kind of time of my life. And that's really what it spoke to for me.
And then it's obviously played out very clearly in the formation of Ever Eden.
Yes, yes. So I think, I mean, the church, especially St. John Paul II and St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, have written so beautifully on women and their vocation and the feminine genius. And it's just, it's like absolutely provocative and stunning, the things that they say. I just recently reread Mulieris Dignitatum, and I just went crazy. I started texting people excerpts. I was just like going insane, but it's all the same, you know, message, right? And
yes.
So many times, I guess, and I'm speaking as someone who was kind of more of like, quote unquote, Catholic outsider, right? Like I said, I didn't feel like I saw good examples in the faith. But to me, like when I imagined like a Catholic woman, like, or like the church's vision for me as a Catholic woman, it was very much like, you fit in this box, this little domestic box, and you're going to do these specific things, and, you know, and then God will bless you. And I think that's fine, I guess, you know, but it's just it's so much more than that. And like our vocation as women is actually has so much more to do with who we are on an ontological level and what we bring to the world in all facets. Right.
So yes, like absolutely
our motherhood, our feminine sensitivity, our feminine genius is absolutely transcendent. That's what women are. And we bring that to everything we do. So while my home and my family is so much better because, you know, my dedication to it and because of my sensitivity and because of my empathy and because of my motherhood, but I also bring that to every endeavor. And to me, this quote is really just a pioneer of the fact that when God places desires or dreams or something beautiful in your heart, he doesn't desire to stifle it with your vocation, but he desires to bring the two together and make you kind of like more of a whole person. And I think that's the good news of being a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
So well.
No, I was recently on a retreat and they were saying that who was speaking? I was at a Blessed Is She retreat. I think it was maybe Michelle Benzinger. And she said, your calling proceeds, it flows forth and it comes from your vocation. So just like you're saying, like it's multidimensional. And I think the view of women in the world, like over-sexualized and too simplistic, and then too far in the other direction. Like the pendulum swings really far both ways, and we're missing the middle. But the middle is the place where, like you're saying, like all of the pieces of who you are manifested as fully as they can be, and in communion with each other, and in communion with men. And there's this like, if you let it be what it's supposed to be, then it's beautiful, and it's not stifling. Because exactly. It's exactly the way that God created us. So like,
yes.
There's so much more than a lot of elements of our culture think that women are supposed to be and think that there are things that are going to liberate us. And really, those are the things that are stifling the true beauty of who we are.
Yes. I mean, this isn't something that you just encounter in the church. I mean, I think the world tries to stifle women in so many ways. It's just the idea that like, you know, women are for someone else. And it's like, well, yes, being a human does mean that like you're going to find yourself by making an earnest gift of yourself. That's true. But that's for humanity, you know? Like a woman isn't made for man, even though she's drawn out of the side of Adam. She's made for our own sake.
Yeah.
And so I feel, and I know I'm right, actually, because St. John Paul II agrees / brought me to this conclusion. But, you know, women are actually the first ones, like the first to restore love and order. He writes about that. And so I just think, I think every facet of the world is only enriched by the presence and voices of women, which is exactly why I have a cast of all women writers for Ever Eden. A lot of people get confused between the difference between something that is, you know, geared for women versus mm-hmm. something that is made by women. So, you know, Ever Eden's always going to have its feminine appeal. It's written by women, you know, it has, you know, sometimes a more feminine design. All of that is
fine.
Yeah, I
was going to say, some of the design, the beauty of that is like a more, but it's like a strong feminine. It's not some like dainty, like weak little, I don't know. It's a strong design, but it's very clear. I think that's one of the things I love about the design is that it's very clear and straightforward, but it lets like the meat of it shine.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not trying to hide the fact that everyone who works on it basically is a woman. And, you know, we're going to like what we like. It might look different. It's going to look different than if, you know, a group of men designed it, a group of men wrote it, of course. But I think I really wanted to kind of make that statement in starting a small business, you know, that women have something to say, something good to say, something that will edify us, you know, across the board. Because I think a lot of times we have, you know, women on, you know, retreat teams so they can give the women's talks, or we have women in places of leadership and we listen to them when it comes to women's ministry, but maybe not when it comes to like, you know, being the full director of evangelization. And this isn't true everywhere, but it's kind of an unspoken message that has crept its way in. And I really just wanted to have like a platform where I said, no, like I'm going to specifically highlight these voices because I think they enrich the world. And all who dare to listen, all who dare to read may experience that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I've loved seeing in the journal too is that motherhood is represented without apologizing for itself, but it's also not everywhere. I think I was almost surprised when I first read through that there were pieces that talked about being a mom, because I think sometimes we say, well, we can talk about being a woman, but don't talk about being a mom right now, because I mean, to some extent, we do need to be sensitive, like to the way we speak about biological motherhood and understanding that there are very real issues, that is not a given. I definitely 1000% understand when that is the motivation, but other times it's like you have to either put motherhood to the side, or like motherhood becomes so much of our identity that it isn't something else. And I think the journal has really represented it as part of who we are as women without being all or nothing. I think that often gets lost in women's expression, kind of.
I love how you did that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And it's been interesting to me because, I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, I'm a mom before myself. And, you know, I kind of have felt like certain things have appeared in, you know, like you said, the corners of Catholic Instagram. And I feel like there's almost like, this is the thing that's most, you know, young Catholic women, college students, young professionals are surrounding. And then there's some things that are like, oh, and all the Catholic mothers are surrounding this. And I've been really surprised just in terms of people supporting Ever Eden, which is probably what gives it that balance in the first place, is just across the board. You know, I have really, really young writers, you know, as young as in high school, really, who are reading or even submitting something, you know, and it just goes all the way through. And so I think there's something I've been encouraged by everyone's ability to really, I guess, talk about the vocation as a woman as primary in their work, and then what that looks like in their specific life as secondary, which is, I think, is what makes it more universal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, I am a mom, and I've been a mom for kind of a while, but like, I don't know, I think motherhood was always interesting to me too. And I think even before I was a mom, I would have wanted to read about, maybe not the nitty gritty of like temper tantrums and toilet training, but like, what does that look like? I think I yearned for that relationship in a certain way that I think is, and not to say that everybody yearns for to raise children in that way, but there's that idea of spiritual motherhood that, you know, like the kind of tagline for this podcast is to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you're created to be. And on that retreat recently, I was thinking more about it. That's like, how does that flow from my vocation? Like the woman's vocation to love, to be a spiritual mother, generosity, receptivity, all these things, they are to encourage others and to inspire others and to lift each other up. And I think on the one hand, that's what I do for my children, but hopefully like that's what I'm doing in all the rest of the world, you know, like the women who followed Jesus, like they were encouraging each other. They were inspiring each other. They were spreading the good word, the good news to lift other people up. Like this is really what we're all called to do, but there is a special and really beautiful part of being a woman.
Exactly. I mean, and it's just true that when God gives a gift, he doesn't give it, you know, for a select amount of people. And so a lot of times we can look at this gift of motherhood and think, oh, and this is to bless my family, or, you know, we put boundaries around that gift, you know, is who it's going to affect. But really, anytime God gives a gift, it's for all of his people.
Us, like in my book, I talked a lot about how realizing that my vocation as a mom to help my kids get to heaven is also for, like, that's how God's calling to me. Like, not, hey, check me out, it's all about me. But, like, I need to recognize that God's calling to me through this. He's calling to my children through me. But this is also my relationship with God. And I can't lose that or else I'm not going to do the rest of it very well.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think it's just – and it's just been interesting, I guess, to see so many women taking up this task of seeing what God has brought in for them within regards to their specific circumstances of life, with regards to their vocation, and then how can I use this for everyone? You know, if I stretch my skin over, you know, to fit a bunch of babies inside me, you know, certainly I can stretch my heart to, you know, open my house for refugees or whatever it may mean, you know.
That idea of stretching, I love that.
Exactly. So, I think, you know, every Eden, of course, being a literary journal, it's never going to directly say those things, but the content, of course, is there creatively, and I think it's inspiring among a world where everything is more direct, everything is kind of yelling at you like, this is what you should do, this is what you need to do, and so I think it's also just been nice for me. You know, when I put it all together, I'm edified by the words that people write, and just to have that kind of, that's the thought provoking nature of it, is people are taking up this task. They're you know, writing it in a creative way. And that really makes me reflect on it in my own life. And there's so many times that stories in there encouraged me, I think, to use my gifts from my specific vocation or my call to motherhood in different ways, or made me think about it differently. So that's also just been a gift of this little endeavor as well.
I love that. Oh, Amy, we have to wrap it up. I wish we didn't. We could talk for days now that we're finally hearing each other's voices.
Exactly.
Amen, 1,000 times. Yes, over and over again. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll have links to Ever Eden on Instagram and the website in the show notes. So friends, subscribe to the journal. It's really such a gift. It and it's petite and it fits in your bag or on the front seat of your car, like it is in my car right now for when I'm waiting in car line. And if you feel called to submit, please do. I'd love to hear your voice through there too. So Amy, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay.
Listeners, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. If you'd like to suggest a quote or a guest, please follow the show on Instagram, quoteme_podcast, or contact me at my website, lindsayschlegel.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review wherever you find your podcasts, and please tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.